All right, welcome back here to ESPN Radio 102.7, the home stretch. I'm Pat Doherty, alongside producer Ty Burlidge across the desk. We're now joined by all things basketball, our NBA college and high school basketball expert. The man DC Hendricks joins us here now on the home stretch. DC, you can check out his podcast, The Crossover with DC, at ESPNFortWayne.com. And DC, it's playoff time in basketball, but there have been some interesting storylines across the ways. Obviously, Isaiah Thomas loses his sister, and that's sad, but what it's kind of done in some ways, it's taken a step back from Boston, maybe distracted them enough. The Bulls have a 2-0 lead in this series, and now going back to Chicago, I think they have a great chance to win. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm actually really surprised this series has gone the way it is. I'm not sure what you were expecting going in, but I'm pretty quite surprised. I know the tragedy hit, and that obviously changed some things. But the Chicago Bulls team is playing the way they've been expected to play all year. They were supposed to be a top four, top five team in the Eastern Conference, and they're finally playing that way. I guess it just took the word playoffs to get in their head, and Jimmy Butler's playing out of his mind, and that's why the Chicago Bulls are playing the way they are, and that's why they're up 2-0.
How much do you think it's the experience as well? Having an NBA champion on your team like Dwayne Wade, you can call him playoff Rondo. Rondo has two different personalities. You have regular season Rondo and playoff Rondo. But an experienced lineup in these type of situations where Boston maybe hasn't had a lot of experience being the team at the top, and now you're going against a team that's hungry. They know how to win in the playoffs. What are your thoughts on that? How much is experience playing here in this first round of the playoffs?
That's another thing I've noticed in this series as well. And that's what coming into this series. That's why a lot of people were saying that the Bulls could take this to the limit. You know, the Boston Celtics are obviously a great team, and there's a reason why the number one team in the Eastern Conference, but they also have not had this kind of pressure on them before. But this is all new for them. And that's why the Chicago Bulls, like you said, they've been there. Dwayne Wade's obviously won a couple NBA finals. Rondo's been there, obviously, with his time in Boston. So, you know, as expected, you know, early on in the series, Boston's struggling, but I still expect them to, you know, find a way. Isaiah's going to have to, you know, it's tough. You know, the tragedy happened at worst timing possible, right before the playoffs, I mean, the day before the playoffs started. And that's obviously the biggest reason why Boston has struggled, you know, so far in the series. But I do expect them to try to bounce back and try to get back in the series.
Before we get on and look at Cleveland and Indianapolis, and obviously that's another intriguing series, but I want to go to San Antonio, Memphis. The head coach for the Grizzlies, David Fizdale, $30,000 fine because of his comments about free throws. We talked about this on Tuesday in the sense that the free throws, the discrepancy is huge. Now, Memphis isn't going to win the series. They weren't ever going to win the series. But do you think that there is any kind of underlying road or any kind of outside pressure to make sure that teams like San Antonio with a bigger following move on? And does that play into any of these officiating scenarios? I mean, he makes a good point. Kawhi shot more free throws than their entire team. Or is this kind of the superstar, you know, scenario where some of these superstars get treatment that other players don't?
Big kudos to Coach Tisdale. That's just the way I'm going to start. And I can say whatever I want because I won't get fined. So just to start off, you know, I completely agree with your statement. You know, it's not even just San Antonio. I look at even the I know we're going to talk about this, but the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Indiana Pacers series. I mean, very questionable calls going towards these teams. And I understand LeBron's going to get these calls. I understand Kawhi Leonard are going to get some calls that other players won't. I get that. They're superstars. That's how the game works. But it's gotten a little bit too far. You know, there's times where, you know, it's clearly like LeBron for it. You know, the San Antonio series, you know, I feel like Tisdale's reaching just a little bit. But like you said, you know, I've noticed both ways really bad in the Cleveland-Indiana series. You know, so I do notice it. And he's completely right. You know, somebody's going to have to look into this. Because he's not the only one noticing. Coach Tisdale's not the only one that sees this. I mean, people are tuning out of the NBA, you know, that have been watching it for years because of it. It's become a huge problem. It's like the finals is already preset before the playoffs even start, and they're going to make sure, do whatever it takes, you know, if these guys get there, you know, to keep the fans happy. But that's not making them happy if we're noticing, you know, I mean, almost blatant cheating.
Once again, we're talking to DC Hendricks, our all-thing basketball expert here on ESPN Radio 102.7 in the home stretch as we're taking a look at the NBA playoff picture, and 100% I agree with you. It's one of the things I tell Todd and I tell our listeners on the show all the time. I struggle to watch the NBA because, especially in the regular season, you know the two teams that are going to be in the finals, and really barring a crazy upset, it'll be Cleveland and Golden State again. And if you know the ending, why watch anything until it gets to point? And that, for me, the average fan, that's what kind of drives it away from me. Let's look at the Cavalier-Pacers series. Cleveland kind of limped into the playoffs. I mean, they have not been a good team since the All-Star break. I thought Indiana lost an opportunity in Game 1. If they win Game 1, the series maybe takes a different turn. By losing Game 1, now they've lost the first two games of the series. I don't think they have any shot at beating Cleveland.
Yeah, like you said, Game 1 was the most win for the Indiana Pacers in order to stick in this series. Now, obviously, Cleveland, like we just got done talking about, they're going to get all the calls, LeBron, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, the defending champions, all that yada yada. They're going to get all the calls regardless. So you not only have to beat the Cavaliers, you not only have to beat LeBron and his other two star players, you also have to beat the referee. So you need to get that Game 1, you know, in Cleveland. You need to win that game to at least put some pressure on these guys, especially after the way the season has gone. The Cleveland Cavaliers, after the All-Star break, one of the worst records for a defending champion in NBA history. You know, if you win Game 1, you put these guys on the ropes, you know, and put some even more questions within this organization. But you drop Game 1, you drop Game 2, Paul George is frustrated, he's criticized the teammates. You know, it's all a mess right now. They're back at Bankers Life tonight. Game 3 is tonight, and Game 4 is Sunday. Hopefully the series doesn't end on Sunday. That's all I'm hoping for. But this Indiana Pacers team, you know, honestly, outside of Paul George, there's just not much there. And I've said it before, you know, Pacers fans probably don't want to hear this, but I think this is Paul George's last season as Indiana Pacers. I really do. It just reminds me too much of LeBron's first run, his last season in Cleveland when he walks off the court in Boston, you know, takes his jersey off. I really see that here. And it's really frustrating, you know, coming from a guy that goes out to Bankers Life, you know, about two or three times a year to see these Pacers. And he's one of the reasons I go. You know, without Paul George, I mean, what am I going to see? You know, I'm not going to see Miles Turner. I'm not going to see Thaddeus Young. That's not what I'm going to see. I'm going to see Paul George. And this is just looking like the beginning of the end for the Indiana Pacers. But if they win tonight, Game 3, then I swallow all my words I just said.
DC, we've talked about the best teams and obviously the biggest upset brewing with the Bulls over the Celtics. I want to hit on the best player. Russell Westbrook last night, 51 points, most points ever in a playoff triple-double to go along with 10 rebounds and 13 assists. Yet Oklahoma City falls again to Houston, now down 2-0. I guess, first of all, is there any chance here for Oklahoma City to rebound in this series? And second of all, are we watching in Russell Westbrook the best season a player has had really since maybe the turn of the century, since 2000?
Yeah, I think they're still in the series. You know, obviously, Houston's going to win the first two games, more than likely. They're pretty, I will say, unbeatable in their home court, but it's very tough to beat them nonetheless. They're going back to Oklahoma City, where the fans are electric. You know, Russ was going to have his fans behind them. So I do expect them to win one or two games back at home. They're still in the series. And, you know, just to comment on Russell Westbrook, you know, I've came on here before and I, you know, made my MVP campaign for him and all of that. But, you know, just last night, you know, just some things he'll need to, you know, get in order. This is his first time in the playoffs by himself. So he's going to have to learn how, you know, to get his other guys involved. I mean, last night he was cold. I mean, he missed, I don't remember, I think it was 11 shots in the fourth quarter. You can't do that. If you want your team to win and put them in the best position, you need to pass the ball. I understand you're the star player, but at some point you need to try to get your teammates involved. And I've seen ESPN National host Ron Lucillo sent out a nice tweet that pretty much summarized it. You know, on that, especially on the last possession Oklahoma City had. You know, it's a difference between needing help and wanting help. And last night I noticed that it's almost like Westbrook doesn't want the help. It's great that you're putting up 50 points and 10 rebounds and 10-plus assists, but, you know, in the playoffs, you got to get your teammates involved. You can't do it on your own, and it's not going to happen that way. So last night was just another example of that. But I do expect them to bounce back at home, like I said, win Game 3 or Game 4, and, you know, make this a series.
Once again, DC Hendricks, All Things Hoops. Check out his podcast, The Crossover DC, ESPNFortWayne.com. DC, always a pleasure, my brother. We'll talk to you soon, and let's get together next week as the playoff picture continues here, and we'll have maybe an idea of some of the second-round matchups at that point. Thanks, DC. Appreciate it, brother.
Absolutely. No problem. Thanks for having me. I look forward to hearing from you next week. And just keep an eye on the Washington Wizards. I've been very impressed with them so far. John Wall's playing out of his mind. Bradley Beal. They're making their case for the best backcourt, that's for sure. But keep an eye on them guys. They might give, you know, Chicago some tests, even Cleveland, you know, if Cleveland advances. So just watch out for those Wizards. Thanks for having me, man.
Awesome, DC. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.